We left off, the Lord, he had finished speaking to the Jews. The Jews had once again rejected the Lord. The Lord had told them in chapter number 12 and verse number 36 that all they needed to do was believe in him and that they were sinners, but that Christ had come for them. But they did not want that. They did not want him in that way. They rejected him. And the Lord then, in verse number 50 of chapter 12, said, "You're rejecting my words, and you reject my words, there will be no eternal life." If you're saved today, it's because you believe the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. You believe the fact that you're a sinner, that Christ died for us, and that He's the way to heaven. And I'm thankful for the day that I got saved. Amen. All of us ought to be thankful for that day and never get over that day. The Lord then turns His direction from here on out to His disciples. Now, John, a lot of the other writers of the Gospels, they gave more details about the life and the ministry of the Lord. But John, the main part of his book from here on out is on that hour, the crucifixion. What is referred to as when the Lord said the last hour, His hour. We'll see it again as we begin to read in chapter number 13. But this is the day that the Lord would be crucified. This is, as we'll read it, that last day, His hour had come, and His public ministry is in a way, He's turned from soul winning, if you will, to sitting with His disciples in this last hour and teaching them and preparing them, enabling them, empowering them, because their faith was about to be tried. They would arrest the Lord and take Him to a cross. It would be hard for these disciples to watch. So the Lord spends the next few chapters preparing them for this. Let's read in chapter number 13. If you're able to, let's stand as we read the Scriptures, please. In John chapter 13 and verse number 1. Think about what we read here. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. Supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He was come from God and went to God, He rises from supper, laid aside His garments, and took a towel and girded Himself. After that, He poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith He was girded. Then cometh He to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto Him, "Lord, dost Thou wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "What I do thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter." Peter saith unto Him, "Thou shalt never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." Simon Peter saith unto Him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus saith unto him, "He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For He knew who should betray Him. Therefore He said, Ye are not all clean." So after He had washed their feet and had taken His garments and was set down again, He said unto them, "Know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, 'Well, for so I am.' If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye knew these things, happy are ye if ye do them. I speak not of you all, I know whom I have chosen, but that the Scriptures may be fulfilled, He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am He. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me." When Jesus had thus said, He was troubled in spirit and testified and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me." Then the disciples looked one to another, doubting of whom He spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of His disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to Him that He should ask who it should be of whom He spake. He then lying on Jesus' breast said unto Him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it." And when He had dipped the sop, He gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into Him. Then said Jesus unto Him, "That thou doest, do quickly." Now no man at the table knew for what intent He spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things which we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Father, I pray you take the message and use it for your glory. Teach us your word this morning and challenge our hearts. God, give us receptive ears and receptive heart. Change our lives this morning, God. I pray that you'd speak to us. Lord, may your word just go forth and have free reign in our mind and our thoughts. And God, may we all leave this place closer to you. Lord, listening to you, in love with you more. Father, if there's someone here today that's lost, I pray today they be saved. And we give you the praise and honor for it all. In your name I pray. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. I'm going to look through these verses that we read very quickly this morning. I just want to point out a few things that I find very interesting in this chapter. I really only got 3 points with a few subpoints, if you will. But first of all, you see they come to a table in verses 1-3. We've learned a couple of facts in verse number 1 of the chapter. We learn the fact that it says there, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of the world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. We have here the last day of the Lord Jesus Christ here upon this earth before the crucifixion. I say that because he is alive and well. Amen. He rose again. He's there at the right hand of the Father. But this is his last hour. This is it. That last day would consist of Tuesday. Understand how the Jewish days work. All right. Tuesday at sunset to Wednesday at sunset. All right. So we come to Tuesday at sunset. He gathers together and he's meeting with his disciples here. This is his hour, as it says there in verse number 1. His hour. He's talked about that hour ever since he's been here. You remember when the first miracle took place at the wedding of Cana? You remember when his mother came to him and the Lord said to her and the disciples, mine hour is not yet come. Many times, you remember, we read it already, they sought the Pharisees and the high priests to arrest him or to stone him or to kill him. The Bible says his hour was not come. So he walked right out in front of them. But now his hour is here. He knew it was time. His public ministry, you say, well, there's so much of the book left. I know. Because we get a glimpse of what these last words were going to be from the Lord to his disciples to prepare them for the crucifixion. He taught them a lot. I mean, you just glance, and we'll look at it in a second, but chapter 14, 15, 16, 17. If your Bible has the red writing, all right, when there's words of Jesus, it's pretty much all the words of Jesus, because this is what he's saying to his disciples before his crucifixion. But he knows his hour's come. And folks, can I just say this real quick? Before the world began, the Lord knew his hour. Before he created and the foundation of the world was set, he knew there would be a day when he would come to this earth and he would, to this very moment, I mean, you have to understand, this is an important moment. When the Lord created this world and he spoke into existence the creatures and the trees, and he knew that this hour right here, this day would come. And here it is. He was going to go to a cross, folks, for you and me. This was his hour. We learned a couple of these facts, and you see his feeling also in verse number 1. It says his hour was come that he should depart out of this world unto the Father. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Folks, the reason he came to this hour is because he loves us. We talked about it Sunday night, and I hope you took advantage of it this week. Folks, you ought to say to yourself every day, the Lord loves me. You ought to every day tell the Lord, I love you. And be thankful for that love. We just sang, my Jesus, I love thee. I love thee because thou hast first loved me. The Lord Jesus, before the foundation of the world, said there's going to be a day, my hour, because I love, put your name there. Travis Burke, Scott Mullis, Alex Burke, Diana Gale. I love them so much that this day is going to come. And that day's there. We're reading of it. But folks, the reason he did it is because he loves us. God loves us. We talked about it in the nursing home service on Tuesday. We had a really good service on Tuesday. We were just looking there as Joshua was dying, and,
and he was 110 years old. And he said, and this is what he said. He said, Israel, look around you. Your enemies have been destroyed. The land is yours. And this is what he said, because of you. Joshua said, he loves you. Folks, look outside. The grass is turning green. The flowers are starting to bloom. You know why all that happens? Because he loves you. Man, you've got the health to be here today. You know why? Because he loves you. I mean, we talk about this all night, but he loves you. And what a great thing to know that God loves us. You see his feelings, but then you see in verse number 2, he's mentioned a foe. Judas is mentioned in verse number 2. Judas, by the way, according to Matthew chapter 26, and you can see it in Luke also, Matthew chapter 26, before this moment, he had already gone and talked to the chief priest. He'd already gone and said, now, if I do this, what would you give me? He'd already made prearrangements. Now, he hadn't taken it, but he was making the arrangements. But you know what? Even though he had already gone, did the Lord know he'd already gone and talked to those chief priests? Yes. Did the Lord know that Judas, in his mind, was done? He was just like a lot of those other Jews. He was done waiting on him to show his power and overthrow Rome. The Bible says that Judas was a zealot. He was all for these things. And you know, now he's upset. And now he already gone to the chief priest. He'd made a deal for them and said, oh, what are you going to give me if I betray Jesus to you? They gave him a deal. And he went back and he's sitting there. In his mind, he knew what he was going to do. Did the Lord Jesus know what Judas was going to do? Yes! The Lord still knelt down, took a towel, and he washed Judas' feet. He still, we'll talk about later, to give the sop was a way of honor. We think biscuits and gravy. Sop it up, right, Brother Davis? All right? Yeah, all right. Just never works out right. You always either have too much gravy or not enough biscuit, and it just never it works out, all right? But that's not what he's talking about. The sop to what the sop was in his custom was you take a bread, but there's a special jam, and you'd place it on there. And you would give this sop to the guest of honor. He did that, and he reached over to Judas. The Lord loved Judas. And I want to say this. Judas had a choice. He had a free choice. You say, well, God knew what he's going to do. Everything to the Lord is foreknowledge. He knows everything. But it doesn't change the fact. Does the Lord know who's going to be saved? Yes. But it doesn't change the fact that he loves everyone and he wants all men to be saved. Christ died for everyone, and every one of you have a free choice. The reason why you have to say that is because there's some people who's been told a lie that you know, well, God's just not going to let you be saved. That's a lie. God is not against anyone being saved. God wants all men to be saved. Amen. All men to be saved. When I say men, understand this. Men, that's mankind, all right? Men, women, God wants everyone to be saved. His Son died for everyone. That love that He has is for everyone. For God so loved to the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Anyways, Judas was one of those He loved. He washed Judas' feet. Can you imagine that? Being the person knowing, us as humans, we just couldn't have done it. Someone going to betray us and have us killed, about to walk out, who we invested all of our time, but he knelt down and took a towel and some water and put it on his feet, washed his feet, dried them off. Because he loved him. That's hard to fathom for us. But the Lord loves everyone. And you see some facts. It's an hour. You see his feelings. He loved. You see this foe is mentioned there. And Judas, why they're sitting at this table. It talks about his future. Look in verse number 3 real quick. In verse number 3 it says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he was come from God and went to God. You know what that's saying there? That he is God. He came from God. It means the Lord Jesus. He wasn't just created there when Mary gave birth to a child, all right? The Lord had always been. He came from God, from heaven, and He's going back to God. He's eternal, and He's there right now. Amen.
He's right there. His future is secure. The Lord knew that. The Father would not let him down. Then you see here the table. Then you see, secondly, the towel. The Lord kneels down. He's going to take, and understand what's going on. This is not an ordinance. If it had been an ordinance, it would have been repeated in the epistles. We'd have instructions for it in the epistles. It's not something that we're supposed to do like the Lord's Supper or baptism. Or else it would have been clearly instructed in the epistles. This is a picture. And the Lord kneels down and He takes, and I think it's important. Look real quick at verse number 4. He rises from supper and lays aside His garments. It's a picture. You know, when the Lord came to this earth, He had to lay aside who He was. And don't misunderstand me. He's always God. But He was made and fashioned as a man. He went from being praise and the adoration of glory to being rejected and scorned on this earth. He laid that aside for us. He rose up from supper and he took off His garment, His outer garment, His robe, and He laid it down. And there in that verse it says that He took a towel and girded Himself. He put some water in verse 5 in a basin or a bowl. And He began to wash the disciples' feet. He gave some lessons here. And I've preached on this, so I'm going to fly through this. But listen real close. The lessons He was teaching, number one, was one on humility. Verses 4 to 5. When the Lord Jesus came to this world, He took upon Him the form of a servant. Here He's doing the work of a slave. When the Lord Jesus Christ, He's teaching this lesson one more time. He did not come to rule and to reign, but He came to serve. He came to give His life. He laid aside His deity, if you will, be the adoration of heaven. And He came and was made in the likeness of man. He took that towel. I believe the towel represents the tenderness of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, everybody picture in your mind, think with me this morning. That towel. The tenderness. The Lord has shown us His loving kindness and His tenderness. And all of us should be able to testify of that. Look at me. The Lord doesn't deal with people in anger. He won't do it. The Lord doesn't lead in guilt and sorrow. The Lord is tender. That's a wonderful thing. See, the towel was tenderness. The water, of course, I believe represents cleansing. The water of the Word, folks, all of us need to be cleansed. Amen. And in the picture here is this, and we'll talk about it in just a second, but they would wash their feet because you know what? As they traveled and went around and they traveled, then they didn't have roads and sidewalks like we do. The ground was dirt and their feet would get filthy. And when they came into a house, it was customary that a slave or that someone designated in the house would take and that water and that towel and they'd wash their feet and cleanse from all the dirt that they would pick up. Last time I checked, every one of us are human in this room. And because we're human, we're made up of flesh. And when we leave and we walk around this world this week, you know what happens to us? We pick up some filth every day. So well, not me. Yes, you. All right? We all do. We live this life and we hear things, we see things. The devil puts temptations in our path. Our flesh cries out for things. And you know what happens? You can't help but pick up some filth. But praise God, you can go to the Lord every day. And He is faithful and just to forgive us. And to cleanse us. You say, well, I have to be saved again? No, because that's what Peter said. Remember? Peter said, you're going to wash my feet. And the Lord said, I am going to wash your feet. If I don't wash your feet, I have nothing to do with it. He said, well, then wash my hands, my head, my shoulders, my everything. All right? And the Lord said this. He said, if you're clean, you don't have to be washed again. If you're saved, you don't have to be saved again. Save your feet or accept your feet because you just pick up some filth while walking through this world. We as Christians don't have to be saved again, but we ought to daily go to the Lord and ask the Lord to cleanse us from where we've picked up some things that you know we do while we travel through this world. Anyways, the Lord washes. I believe that water represents the cleansing. Folks, if you come into this auditorium today with some sin in your life, you can come to the Lord today and ask the Lord to forgive you. He will forgive you today. And you know what? Sometimes we think that we have to beg and plead with God. I just go back again to 1 John 1:9. I'm not making light of it, and I'm not trying to make light of sin. But the Bible says, if we do what? 1 John 1:9. What's the word? Confess. You know what the word confess means? I'm guilty. It doesn't mean, please forgive me, and you have to work up something to try to earn God's favor.
He is faithful. He will forgive you. All we have to do is come to Him with confession. I am guilty. Lord, I've done this. And the Lord said, it's forgiven. Because by the way, it all was already taken care of on Calvary. Amen? Praise the Lord for it. We go to the Lord. We ask the Lord. We confess that. And by the way, when you confess it and you understand what guilt is, that's true repentance, which means this. You're not going to go on and say, well, I asked God to forgive me. I confessed it and go on and do it again. No. You realize that's wicked. And I've done this against the Lord. I don't want to do it again. Water's that cleansing. The bowl, I believe, represents the burden. What can wash away our sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It was the Lord Jesus who bore all that upon Himself. He bore that for us. Praise God for the sacrifice of the Lord. You have here, Judas is sitting there. Jesus comes, and the towel, I believe, is a lesson on humility. Because, folks, listen, you and I, if we're not humble, we're not going to get right. You ain't washing my feet. And the Lord said, well, I have nothing to do with you. The Lord is looking for humility. Folks, if you sit here today and say, well, it's my sin and I don't want to get it right. Yeah, your pride's keeping you from getting right. It takes humility. It took humility. The Bible says in the book of James that He resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to who? The humble. He's looking for humility. That's why I say you don't go and say, yeah, I did it, so what? That's pride. It's, yes, God, I did it. I was wrong. He's looking for humility. And you see a lesson on humility. Secondly, you see a lesson on pride or haughtiness. I've already said it. Peter in verses 6 through 8. Now listen, you know what he did? He tried to tell God what he could do. It was pretty bold, wasn't it? Say, did he really? Well, look at it. It says, then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith then, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest, but thou shalt know who after. Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. He tried to tell the Lord what to do. And we can sit back and say, Peter, boy, how he's acting foolish again, all right? That's Peter for you. He's always trying to tell the Lord what to do. So do we. All the time we do. The Lord will lay something out upon our heart. God, wait a second now. That's not the way I want to do it. The Lord will convict us about something. I don't want to get that right. The Lord will call us to some ministry. I don't want to serve in that ministry. You know, if the Lord tells you to do something, you ought to do it. Quit trying to tell the Lord how to do things. There's people today trying to change the way you give the gospel out. The Lord already told us. Don't need to try to tell the Lord how to do it. We just need to do it. There's people trying to tell us how to live holy. The Bible tells us how to do that. We don't have to tell the Lord how to do it. He's already got it figured out. Here, I'll get you to amen. There's people today trying to redefine marriage and tell you what marriage is. God already told us. Amen? He's already told us. But even Christians today want to try to correct God on things. God knows what He's doing. Peter tried to tell the Lord what to do, and Peter finally got it, in verses 9 through 11, Peter then tried to tell the Lord how to do it. You see there, after the Lord corrected him, Simon Peter said to him, well, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my feet. That's when the Lord said, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. Peter said, well, don't just wash my feet, but wash everything. The Lord said, no, you're missing it again. I'll just make this statement and go on to the next point. Folks, we don't tell God what to do and we don't tell God how to do it. All we need to do is just look at what God said and obey it. Now that sounds really simple, but that's one of the greatest battles in our church and in every church. Is that we'll see things, but we just don't want to do it. And we're sitting there like Peter, looking like a fool in the eyes of God. God says, I want to bless. I want to teach you. I want to help you here. But we must submit to that. There's a lesson on humility, a lesson on haughtiness, and then a lesson on honor in verses 12 to 17. And the basis is this. We've already read it. Folks, look at me. Here's what he's saying. Jesus is God. He says in verse number 13, you call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am.
He is Lord. Amen? He is God. He's the King of Kings. And we ought to follow Him. And He teaches what proper leadership is. It's service. And when you serve, you'll find joy. We've already read the verses, but folks, you will never find a more satisfied, a more joyful life than a life in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. So, but He might ask me, it'll be a blessing. So you didn't let me finish. I don't care what you say. It'll be a blessing. You serve the Lord, there is great joy there. Look at the verses with me. Verse 14, if I then your Lord and Master have washed your feet, you also to wash one another's feet. We ought to be humble with one another. We ought to serve one another. Verse 15, for I have given you an example. That's a key, by the way. It's not an ordinance. It's an example. That you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. There is joy in serving Jesus. I love serving the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, has every day been great? No, there's some really hard, difficult days. But through it all, God is good. He'll always be good. He is the thing that good is. But then our focus is turned to the traitor in verses 18 to 30. This is where I want to get this morning. We'll leave with this. The traitor. The Lord knew what Judas was about to do. It was expected by Christ. You see, in verses 18 to 22, he was exposed by the Lord. He says, if I speak not of you all, I know whom I have chosen, but that the Scripture may be fulfilled. By the way, he's referring to Psalm chapter 41, which says, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. That psalm was a prophecy of when the Lord was saying it's happening right now, that there is someone who is sitting here eating with me, who is against me, who will betray me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, you may believe that I am He. It was expected by Christ. You know why it was expected by Christ? Just two quick points. Verse 18, because the Scripture said so. The Scripture said in Psalm 41 that someone who was eating would betray Him. But not only did the Scripture say, but because the Savior says so. He knew it would take place. And it's important to note this in verses 19 and 20. There would be good in this. Because He says to the disciples, you can look at the verse 19 and 20. But what He said is the good part in this is this, that when it happens, you'll know that I told you it was going to happen. It will just confirm in your mind that I am Lord. That I am God. And it did. The disciples would learn these things. He talks about receiving Him there in verse 19 and 20. And it says, I tell you before I come, that it's come to pass you may believe that I am He. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. What a wonderful day. What a wonderful thing, folks. These disciples would realize one day that this is God. And they already knew this, but it was just confirmed in all these things. You read all throughout many other things that later on they look back and they understood. All right, there were things. And just understand this and I'll go on. There are things that go on in our life, Christians, that we may not understand right now. But down the road, we will understand. Some things don't make sense what we go through right now. But someday it will. The song goes, we'll understand it better by and by. We will see it one day. The disciples were the same way. But He warned against rejecting Him in verse 21 to 22. When Jesus has thus said, He was troubled in spirit. He testified. Again, here's the Lord troubled. You know why He's troubled? Look at His words first. Verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. You know why He's troubled? So He's troubled because Judas is about to betray Him. He already knew that. You know, I stopped and I meditated on this verse for a while this week. Why was He troubled? Did He already know that Judas was going to betray Him? Yes. Why at this moment was He troubled? Was He shaken inside? Why was it? Because I believe with all my heart that Judas was still had a choice. But He knew Judas was about to reject Him one final time. At this point, Judas, I believe the Lord reached out to him one more time, and he was troubled because Judas was going to reject Him.
And as a result, folks, Judas is in a devil's hell tonight, today, having rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. What it does, this verse, it shows the great love that God has. Even wicked Judas, his name forever in infamy, betrayer, the one who kissed the Lord on the cheek to betray him, the man who, just for some pocket change, betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet the Lord loved him so much, he knew what was taking place at that moment, and he was troubled. I wonder this morning if the Lord's troubled for some souls in this place. Knowing that there might not be another time you're going to hear the gospel. Your time for eternity may be this week, and he's troubled for you today. The Lord was troubled for Judas. He was, in verse 23 to 26, exposed by Christ. It was expected by him, and then he was exposed. In verse 23, look at it, it says, "Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved." Now, I got to pause here and share something. How many of you, maybe I was the only one, I know me and at least Jay Lynn were, because we talked about it in Sunday school, right? Have you ever read this? Here's me. I've read this passage 100 times, 150 times, I have no idea how many times. This is something I've never gotten before. And honestly, last night on my bed, I was sitting there thinking about it, just studying. And I was laying there. I said, "Lord, I really don't get this." And I said, "Lord, you got to show me." Have you ever wondered, maybe I'm the only person. You get the picture, right? Judas is sitting at the table. John is laying upon Jesus' breast. Understand, they weren't sitting at a table like we do. It's reclining. They're all around this table. And Jesus says, "Someone who's eating with me is going to betray me." Everybody with me still? Yes? All right. And he says this. Peter then, we're about to read it. Peter gives that eye contact to John. And he says, "Ask him." We're going to read in a second, all right? Ask him who it is. Because they're all wondering, who's going to betray him? And so John, who is laying there upon Jesus' breast, looks up and says, "Lord, who is it?" And the Lord tells him, does he not? "The one who I give the sop to." Then the Lord gives the sop to Judas. Judas gets up and runs out. And none of the disciples knew that Judas was betraying him. Has anyone else ever wondered, why didn't they see this? Raise your hand if you're that way. All right, good. I wasn't alone, all right? I've always thought, why didn't these other people? He just said it, right? And then he slaps the stuff on the sop, hands it over to Judas. And Judas looks at it and he realizes Jesus did. Judas' decision was made. He says, "That thou doest too quickly." He gets up and runs out. And all the disciples say, "Well, who's going to betray him?" And I always said, why didn't they see this? Everybody with me? Yeah. All right, good, all right? I'm meditating on that. Say, "Lord, you got to show me because I'm just not connecting a dot somewhere." And the Lord did. I believe, all right? Where's John at? Right here. They're not sitting close. They're lying, relying on his table. John looks up and says, "Lord, who is it?" And I believe the Lord looked down at John and said, "It's the one I give the sop to." I don't know that they heard it, but John did. And John knew. And by the way, the Lord showed me this last night. You won't find the sop mentioned in Matthew, Mark, or Luke. Because they didn't hear it. John did. You say, "Well, why didn't he tell him?" We just looked at it. Didn't you just skim across the next few chapters? From this point on, as soon as Judas leaves, Jesus spends quite a while teaching and giving some powerful stuff that we're going to look at in the next few weeks. I mean, "I am the vine, abide in me," all these powerful things in John chapter 14. "Let not your heart be troubled." I mean, some powerful scriptures, are they not? He's about to teach. It's just one big message that he preaches to them. And then, there when we get to chapter 18 or 19, when he's done with this, I mean, you can skim across and see it's all red writing. It's all the Lord speaking to them. They immediately get up, compare it with other scriptures. He then riseth up and they enter, they sing a song, and they go to the garden. And Judas is there to betray him. John heard it. But the rest didn't. And the Lord then began to teach. John had never had a chance to get up and say, "Let me tell you who it is." Now, they all would know. It's from other scriptures we they'd find out, but they didn't know at this point because John was right there. Does that make sense? So is there a good point in that? Yeah, look at me. When you're close to the Lord, you'll get to see things and hear things that others won't. And you'll understand things. The closer you are to the Lord, the more understanding you'll have of what He's doing. That's why it's important, folks, to have an intimate walk with Christ to where you spend time on His breast every day. Say, Lord, how did John get there? Real simple, look at me. I love You, Lord. He didn't do no great feat that we know of. He just loved the Lord. We're going to talk about it tonight, but you need to spend time every day thanking God and telling the Lord you love Him. That drew him close to the Lord, and the closer he was to the Lord, he was able to understand some things that other people didn't. And he wrote about it, and nobody else did. Amen? In any case, here he is. I was just excited because that finally made sense to me. All right, I went out and told my wife, I was like, I got to tell you something, right? Because I was excited about it. But in any case, I can tell you are too. All right, but it's exciting to me. But he did that, and we all know what happened here, and I've already talked about it. He gives the sop. It was a sign of honor, but Judas rejected it. And then you see, as we close, verse 27 to 30, how he's expelled by Christ. Verse 27, it says there, after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest too quickly. Can I tell you something? You know why that happened? Hear me. Because Judas made a choice. When that sop was reached to him one more time, Judas could have said, Lord, You don't understand what I was about to do, and I was wrong. I'm a sinner, and You're about to die for me. But he didn't. At that point within himself, he said, no. The Bible says at that point, Satan entered into him. The Lord saw it. Can you imagine? Did the Lord know what was going on spiritually? Yes. He saw in Judas' eyes what had just taken place. He told Judas, what thou doest, do quickly. Verse 28, the disciples' confusion. No man at the table knew from what intent he spake this unto him. I think you understand that now. They didn't understand what was going on. Verse number 29, 30, you see the sinner's corruption. A lot of disciples, they thought that he was going out to buy something for the poor, to prepare for the feast. But verse 30, he that having received the sop went immediately out. It was night. That's important, folks. Look at me. We're going to pray. Please hear me. When he chose to reject Christ that last time, the Lord was troubled in spirit because he did not want him to reject him. Though he knew what would happen, his heart broke because he knew Judas was choosing a devil's hell. The Bible says Judas got up and he went out, listen, in the night. He left the light of the world. And he went out, hear me, into eternal darkness. There may be someone here today, and you know in your heart that God is troubled in His heart for you. Because you're hearing the gospel again. And the Holy Spirit is yearning upon you to believe in what Christ has done for you. Don't leave today in darkness. Don't leave today without believing upon the Lord. For us that are saved, the challenge in this passage is we've got to be humble. We need to serve people. And look at me. We need to be close to the Lord. Draw nigh to Him. Listen to Him. I don't know how God's spoken to your heart today. Maybe you've been like Peter and trying to tell the Lord what to do. Quit. So I like the way I'm doing it. Stop. Listen to Him today. Maybe other portions of Scripture. Maybe you're not saved. Maybe you're filled with pride. Maybe you just need to come today to say, Lord, I love You. And I want You to help me to draw closer to You. You say, will that work? The Bible says you draw nigh to Him. He'll draw nigh to you.